शिवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो नंबर 10 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 59 स्थापदी अभितः पश्यान् दिशः अपास्यत् पुरस्थितं वृन्दावनं जन एज्यद्रुम अकीरणम् जन आजीय द्रुम अकीर्णम् समाप्रियम् स्थापिते एवतः पास्यम् सापदि एव भितः पास्यन् दिशोपसायत् पुरस्थितम् दिशो पुष्यात् पुरस्थितम् वृन्दावनम् जानजीवय वृन्दावनम् जानजीवय द्रुमाकीर्तनम् समाप्रियम् द्रुमाकीर्तनम् समाप्रियम् सपदि एव भितस्पास्यन् दिशोपाश्यात् पुरस्थितम् वृन्दावनम् जानजीवय द्रुमाकीर्णम् समाप्रियम् सपदि एव परस्पृश्यन् वृन्दावन जनादिव्यमाकीर्ण समाप्रियम् अपति एव पास्यन् सोपास्यात् पुरासितम् वृन्दावन दिव्य समाप्रिय। लेडीज सपदी इमीडिएटली एव इंडीड अभितः ऑन ऑल साइड्स पश्यन् लुकिंग दिशः इन द डायरेक्शंस अपश्यत् लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सो पुरः स्थितम् सिचुएटेड इन फ्रंट ऑफ हिम वृंदावनम् वृंदावन जन आजीय द्रुम आकीरणम् डेंस विथ ट्रीज विच वर द मीन्स ऑफ living for the inhabitants, samapriyam, and which was equally pleasing in all seasons. Translation by Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees, which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jana jiva druma kiranam. Trees and vegetables are essential and they give happiness all year round in all seasons. That is the arrangement in Vrindavan. It is not that in one season the trees are pleasing and in another season not pleasing. Rather, they are equally pleasing throughout the seasonal changes. Trees and vegetables provide the real means of livelihood recommended for everyone. Sarva kama dugha mahi. Bhagavatam 1:10:4. Trees and vegetables, not industry, provide the real means of life. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscham Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Asindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Tamebhyo Namo Nama Vaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we're reading from the 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 59. Then looking in all directions, Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees, which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. So in the purport also, Prabhupada mentions that when Brahma originally came, in some of the earlier purports, Brahma did not see Vrindavan as Vrindavan. Prabhupada often said that you can't buy a ticket and visit Vrindavan. You have to have the mercy of a devotee or Krishna to really see Vrindavan. Here is Brahmaji, the first living entity on this earth, directly coming from the lotus stem of Padmanabha Swami, Lord Krishna's expansion. And Brahmaji is the founder of Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. And even he took time to see the real Vrindavan. Because he had come with a different idea. When we go to a place and we go with some fixed ideas or preconceived notions, we don't see it in reality as such in a neutral way. We see things as we want to see it. And that is what had happened to Brahmaji before. What happened was, of course, as you remember, Brahma was originally completely mystified because he was wondering, number one, how can this be Krishna? How can this be my Lord? How can this be God? He's like a small child with rice and dahi and some fruits in his hands going around, partly eating himself, giving to others, eating other people's prepared prasadam, what their Matajis had prepared. He was confused. He was mystified. He forgot his own guru. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first shlok, Janmadhyase tunvayadi tarata sarthesva vignaswarat tene brahmaradaya adikavaye muyamti yatsuraya tejo varimrudam yatha milimayo yatra trisa romusha damna svena sadani rastokokam satyam param dhimahi. Brahma got all his knowledge in his heart from Krishna only, originally. But he forgot. This is the nature of all living entities. We have a tendency to forget. In a way, it is good. Sometimes it's good to forget things bad that have happened to us. Because Krishna says, I give knowledge. I give forgetfulness also. And I give remembrance also in the Bhagavad Gita. So actually we are not capable of remembering something. We are not capable even of remembering what we were when we were a small child. We were in the womb of our mother for 9 months or 10 months. And then what happened? We were born. We don't remember our real process of birth. Okay. Up to 2.5 years, practically you don't remember anything. After that, some fade memories are there. After 4 or 5, you may remember a few things more. But even what you ate 3 days ago for lunch, you would have forgotten what vegetable you ate. Or even what you ate vegetable yesterday afternoon, you may forget. Isn't it? You saw it, you tasted it, you smelt it, and yet you forgot it. You put it in your mouth also, and still we forget. Correct? Do you remember what you had for lunch yesterday? No. It's impossible. Why? Because we keep on getting new things. And many times, when you get new things, the old thing disappears. Okay. So here is Brahmaji, who is totally and completely mystified. Why was he mystified? Because as Prabhupada said in an earlier purport, on the purport of 10.13.57, now seeing Brahma's bewilderment, Lord Krishna caused the disappearance of these children. They were Brahmaji had taken. Now here is very important. Just like to, I re-verified it 2 days ago in Mayapur with Radhanath Maharaj. Because I wanted to be 100% sure on this. As you remember, Krishna had gone not with Balaram. That was Balaramji's birthday. So Balaramji was at home. And his mama had come. So he said, Are Baba, I wanted to be with Krishna and the children, my friends. But now Mamaji has come. This is mentioned in some other scripture. I think it is in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So he was, and Rohini Mataji had not allowed him to go also. There were a lot of pujas to be done, gifts to be given to brahmanas at the birthday, and so on. So this is the appearance day of Lord Balaram when this incident took place. Also, which is very important, this 13th chapter is the Anta Leela of Srila Prabhupada's last purports given in this world. So in that sense, Prabhupada has poured all his mercy into this chapter. And if you read this chapter very carefully, you will go home back to Godhead. Remember this. I will come about this in a few minutes. Prabhupada says that one may think that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Maya took away Krishna, but it's not like that. Maya Devi are in two parts, just like a coin, you have a heads and a tail. So Yogmaya and Mahamaya. Now, it all depends which side of the coin you want to see. If you want to associate with Mahamaya, yes, you can associate with Mahamaya. So, here Brahmaji was associating with Mahamaya. So, what happened? Yogmaya, this is what Radhanath Maharaj confirmed to me, Yogmaya actually took the original boys and the calves. Here is the point. And she gave the dummy ones to Brahmaji to keep in the cave. Okay. And Mahamaya took care of feeding those children whatever was necessary and the calves for one full year. Is this clear? Yogmaya actually gave one set equivalent of those boys, calves, to our Brahmaji to keep in the caves. She had the original ones. But Krishna replicated and produced another set, set number 3, of the boys exactly looking, behaving, talking, dancing, singing, everything, clothes, everything just like the old ones, original ones. And calves also. But the issue is this, that the mothers would normally recognize their own children. But Yogmaya is so powerful that even the mothers, both the ladies as well as the cows, could not recognize their own sons and their own calves respectively. Clear? They thought that they are even superior to their own children. They loved them so much more. Because in Vrindavan, the whole emphasis of Vrindavan is that Brijbasis love Krishna more than their own children. Can you imagine? This is how it is. This is the difference between Vrindavan and Bombay. Okay. In Mumbai, the mothers love their own children more than anybody else. Even if he is defective, never mind. Okay. But in Vrindavan, the mothers love Krishna far more than even their own children. That is a basic difference between Vrindavan and every place on earth. Except one. That is Mayapur. That's where I was last few days. And I'll soon come to this Mayapur incident and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, what happened to our friend? Well, actually he is our guru, Brahmaji. So, Brahmaji was confused. He was mystified. And he didn't know which is the real Krishna, which is the real coward boys, which are the real calves, which is the real Vrindavan also. He was so stunned. You know, when you get mystified totally or confused, you don't even know where you are. It's totally confusing. So that is precisely what happened to Brahma. And what happened was that he surrendered for the first time after a long time, after many yugas, again to Krishna. This is the whole issue. Brahmaji was past the age of 50. Brahmaji today is past his prime. This is Kali Yuga, the last phase of Brahma's life. And still he felt, oh my God, I have not yet become Krishna conscious. When will I become Krishna conscious? This is the whole issue. We sometimes, when we are in association with very great devotees, momentarily become Krishna conscious. We get that great enthusiasm. We get a lot of wonderful realizations when lectures are going on by great devotees. Wonderful kirtans are going on, like Radhanath Maharaj's kirtans. And then we get some sort of ecstasy, almost like a feeling that we are in Golok Vrindavan. But then we drop down. Next moment we are on the streets of Bombay. We are going in our vehicle or whatever. And we are back to square zero. You know, like snakes and ladders. we fall down. So, this is precisely what had happened to Brahma actually. So, Brahma was a little worried, you know. Now, what will happen to me? So, people generally argue that our process is not to argue, but to accept the Vedic knowledge as it is. This is important. Brahmaji was in a mood of argument. Brahmaji was in a mood of questioning that which is the real ones. You see, he was confused. But the idea is that in Krishna consciousness, we must accept the authorities who are in the Ivam Parampara. Because if you keep on questioning your own teacher, supposing you go to a school and the teacher says the basic thing, first thing they teach is 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 3 is 6, so on. But if the child keeps on saying, how can it be? Once you told 1 plus 1 is 2, now again you are saying 2 plus 2 is 4. How can it be? I mean, you can't argue with the teacher like that. You have to first accept it. Then the teacher will give you some examples. Here are 2 apples, here are 2 apples. Now count how many there are. There are 4 apples. Like that. So here, Brahmaji had to be taught like a child actually. That is why Krishna takes the form of a child. That is why Krishna's friends were children. And they are the ones who are teaching Brahma now. Though Brahma is past 50 years of age. Okay. So you should be prepared to even learn from children. There were other incidents also. Vamandev, he appeared like a small child. And what happened? Bali Maharaj was such a great conqueror of all the 3 universes. And he was feeling, oh, I am doing this great yajna. Okay. But it was Vamandev who then taught him a lesson and pushed him down to the lowest regions. But then he took pity on him, gave mercy to him, and because he is a great Mahajan, and he is a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and he had promised Prahlad Maharaj, what, 14 generations future and 14 generations afterwards, they will all be my devotees and come back home to Godhead. So Krishna, when he gives a lesson to us, and all of us have gone through this, he also gives us his mercy along with the lesson. It's somewhat like a sugar-coated pill. So the medicine is inside, but the taste is sweet. So here is a case where Brahmaji had, however, adopted what is called Aroha Pantha. There are 2 Panthas. I must explain to you what is a Pantha. People generally argue, but their process is not to argue, but to accept Vedic knowledge as it is. When Krishna says, this is superior and this is inferior, we accept what he says. It is not that we argue. Why is this superior and that is inferior? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I have a superior Yogmaya and there is a Mahamaya. Prakriti, which is the material nature, is inferior to the spiritual nature. But if you keep on arguing with Krishna, you will not gain anything. You lose actually. So, if one argues, for him the knowledge is lost. This is how one loses knowledge. This is how one loses your perception of the truth. When you start doubting Krishna. It happens to all of us. It happened to Brahma. So it's bound to happen to all of us also. And that is why the Bhagavatam, Brahma is taking a role like an actor on the stage actually speaking. Brahma is actually playing a very good role for us. To help us. That if I were having these problems, you will also have in future problems of doubts from time to time. But for heaven's sake, don't doubt Krishna. This is what Prabhupada is saying in this purport. This path of acceptance is called Avaroha Pantha. The word Avaroha is related to the word avatar, which means that which descends. The materialist wants to understand everything by the Aroha Pantha. There is difference between Avaroha and Aroha. So earlier, Brahmaji had followed the Aroha, means questioning only. And every answer led to another question. Every answer led to another question. Now there is no end to it then. So, This is where Bhagavatam says that Brahma, however, adopted the Aroha Panta. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he himself was mystified. Krishna has inconceivable power. Achintaya Beda Beda Tattva. We must first accept that principle, that Krishna is unlimited, therefore his powers are unlimited, and therefore he can mystify anyone, he can do what he wants. And this is where I was in the last few days, and understanding this subject from the great personalities in Mayapur. And I'll come to that in a minute. So there is no alternative. Na tvam tarakena yo yat. This submission marks the difference between Krishnites and Mayavadis. Mayavadis always say that I know something, I know what is the truth. But actually speaking, we don't know the truth. The truth is Krishna himself. He is absolute truth. So he has to reveal himself. If Krishna tells us this is the truth, then that is the truth. And that truth comes down through the Evam Parampara. If you on your own think that I can experiment and find out the truth, the so-called experiments in truth are all nonsense. It cannot happen. Experiments in truth are all experiments in disaster. It ends in a mess. So, or in death, unnecessarily. So, one should not experiment with the truth. One should not mess around trying to experiment how I'll find Krishna. Krishna will find you, don't worry. He will send a guru. He will make sure that you are on the right path. If you are surrendered. This is the only qualification. So, I would like to now at this stage take up this wonderful book. I don't know if any of you have seen this. It's called The Golden Incarnation of Divine Love, Gauranga, by J. Pataka Swami. I was given this book as a gift by my very good friend, Bhakti Purushottam Swami, who is a disciple of J. Pataka Maharaj. Brahma meditates on this subject. How did I go wrong? What happened to me? What is my destination now? Brahma is asking. We are also a small, tiny 1/10,000 of tip of a hair. He is also 1/10,000 of tip of a hair. Actually, that way there is not much difference in dimensions. But he is actually the most trusted person of Lord Krishna. And he had doubts, what will happen to me now in future? So, in the Vrindavan Leela, after Lord Brahma had stolen the calves and cowherd boys, the creator of the whole cosmic creation, Lord Krishna, expanded himself as calf and boys, as you all know. Then what happened is, Krishna did all this to create pleasure for Brahma and the mothers of the boys and the calves. Now, you may ask, how did he create this as a pleasure for Brahma? This is the answer. What happened was, that when Brahmaji was worried about this subject, that why did I make this mistake? This is called repentance. If you know your little bit of a Bible also, Lord Jesus Christ, who was a Vaishnava of course, keeps on saying, repent for your sins, repent for your mistakes. That is the way home back to Godhead. You may ask, which is the direction, which is the way to go home back to Godhead? The answer is, learn from your repentance. I made this mistake. Because you are Jivatma. Jivatmas are what? Limited, isn't it? Jivatmas have a capacity to make mistakes. Why? Because their senses are imperfect, isn't it? Jivatmas also have a propensity to cheat also. All of us have. We've been cheated and we've cheated also. That's a fact. If you say it's not possible or we have not done that, then I will give you examples how one cheats. For instance, Surya Narayan is giving us so much energy every day, isn't it? So much heat, so much light. Are we paying any bills? Are we paying him back? Are we even thanking him? That is like a cheating, no? Suppose you go to a petrol pump, somebody is going to give energy to your car called petrol. and you just get it filled up and then drive away fast. Then what it is? The fellow will run after you for a while. He'll note down the number, tell the police, and try to get his money, isn't it? In this material world, nobody will leave you. They will catch you eventually if you cheat. But Krishna is so kind that when Brahma stole his own friends and stole away the calves of Krishna, Brahma was given mercy instead of punishment. That is Krishna's greatness. How was he given mercy? Brahma repented and therefore the mercy came. Please repent for your past sins. Who says this? Lord Jesus Christ. Now again here Brahma is giving the same example. We must think what we have done in the past which we should not have done. And having done that, what should we do now? The answer is simply surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharma parityagam, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, mokshasami masucha. That is the only it doesn't cost anything to surrender. It doesn't cost your time, it doesn't cost your money, it doesn't cost anything. It's only a question of surrendering what? Your false ego. We are actually servants of Krishna eternally. But our false ego says, no. Like Brahma thought, that I am Brahma. Who is this little boy doing all this nonsense? And everybody is praying to him. Sir, I am there. No. I had created all this creation, Brahma thought. But actually he did not. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the ability in man. So I am means Krishna is the ability in Brahma actually. And Brahma forgot about that. So it's a form of cheating. When you forget somebody has given you something and you don't accept that he has given it. Ye to mera hi tha pehle se. You heard this children say very often, isn't it? That your grandfather never gave it. My father gave me. So it is mine. You know, they fight like that. So it's childish actually. Everything belongs to God. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkinchat jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena punjita magradha kasya svidanam. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Isha is Krishna, Ishwar. Everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna does not actually steal anything when everything belongs to Krishna. He never stole the butter. There is a very interesting thing I learnt. Why Krishna was breaking these butter pots? You may ask. You know that story where he's throwing stones and he's breaking the butter pots and then taking and stealing, so-called stealing the butter. It's his only. The thing was, I learned from one of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purports and also in Garga Muni's book, Garga Samhita, that these old ladies, like Yashodamai and all the senior Matajis there, they were given those pots were very beautifully decorated in gold actually, with all sorts of semi-precious stones on it. And they were heirlooms, you know. H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, heirlooms, given by their sasus, means mother-in-laws, who were given by their mother-in-laws. You follow? It was a family. It was like, you know, my family has these beautiful pots. Some people say, no, that is a, this car belonged to my father and his father and so on, so I'm maintaining it beautifully. So one gets attached to these material things. So these ladies were attached to their pots. And why did Krishna take his appearance on this world? To detach us from all material things. And attach ourselves only to Krishna. Not to those stupid pots. Okay? That is why Krishna broke those pots. Is that clear? There was a lesson in everything that Krishna does. The only problem is, that unless we go deep and study through the Irmam Parampara, Shastras, we cannot find the link, you know. Just like in a computer, you need the link or you need the password or something to enter into that zone of knowledge. So one has to do that study, that's all. Okay. So this is the first thing. Second thing here is, after Brahma was humbled, nobody talks about this. So I asked the question, and you ask and you shall be given. Who says? Again, Lord Jesus Christ. Search and everything will be given by me. So I was just thinking in Mayapur, ke sir, Brahma ne ye sab kiya, baad mein kya hua? What happened to Brahma afterwards? Because Bhagavatam does not talk about it. It goes to the next chapter. Brahma is left high and dry. Kya hai? Why is that? What happened actually? That answer is given in Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela. So we are now shifting from Srimad Bhagavatam to Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela. After Brahma was humbled, then he realized that his potency is insignificant compared to the potency of Krishna. He went to Navadvip Dham. How many years ago? 5,000 years ago. Navadvip Dham was there 5,000 years ago. Actually, according to Jayapataka Maharaj, Navadvip Dham is eternal. It was there millions of years ago. It was 5,000 years ago. It was there 500 years ago. And it is still there now. So, he went to Navadvip Dham. Why? Because Lord Krishna only told him in his heart, Tene Brahma Radaya Adikave Muyam Tiyat Suraya. His direct dialing system is there. Just one press of the mobile, no? Sometimes you get a whole big number, just pressing one number. So that one number, one press, and Brahma gets all the information. You go to Mayapur, you go to Navadvip Dham. And he started to meditate, because Krishna says, meditate on my holy name. Mayapur is the place where you meditate on the holy name. Vrindavan is a place where you meditate on Radha Krishna's form and pastimes. Okay. So what happened is, again, Krishna informed him, chant the holy name, Gauranga, 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 for thousands of years. For a long time, Brahma meditated on Lord Gauranga. Lord Gauranga himself appeared. This is the first time we have a description of Lord Gauranga. Beautiful description. Brahma was the first to see Lord Gauranga amongst all living entities. Okay. Lord Gauranga is 7 feet tall to Brahma. With very long arms reaching beyond his knees. Beautiful eyes going right up to almost the ear. Lord Gauranga's eyes are so beautiful that they shape like lotus leaves. His lips are like rose petal, soft and pink. Beautiful lips. His teeth are like pearls. Just imagine if your teeth, you open the, go to a dentist and open your mouth. The dentist says, oh my God, what are these teeth? They're pearls. I mean, he may take some away also. So then, Lord Gauranga appeared to Brahma and he smiled very sweetly. The smile of Lord Krishna, the smile of Lord Gauranga enchants even Kamdev. Okay. And then Lord Gauranga said, I am very happy with you. Actually, when he saw Lord Gauranga, Brahma jumped up. He was electrified. Like, you know, suppose you get a shock. You have seen somebody get a shock? Every limb of his body starts moving. He gets electrified. So Lord Brahma got electrified. And he jumped up and like a rod he fell down and offered his obeisances to Lord Gauranga. He wanted to speak something. But I told you, no, when you get an electric shock, nothing comes out of your mouth. So that happened to him also. Poor Brahmaji. He wanted to say so many things. He had 4 heads also. But none of his 4 heads could work. Okay. He was stunned when he saw Lord Gauranga. Because Lord Gauranga is even more beautiful than Krishna, whom he saw. Can you imagine somebody being more beautiful than Krishna? This is the statement of Brahma. Brahma was shocked. How can they be more beautiful than Krishna? Why? Because Lord Gauranga has all the plus points of Krishna and all the plus points of Radharani. Plus, plus, double, ho gaya. So the beauty of Brahma, I'm sorry, beauty of Krishna is there, plus the beauty of Radharani is there, and that sum total is Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya said, "What do you want? Why are you calling me so much?" Brahma said, "My dear Lord, I want your mercy. I understand that you are going to come in the future in Kali Yuga. Already over 50% of my life has been spoiled." Means Brahmaji said to Lord Gauranga, "Mera 50 saal aadha to jindagi gaya." Many of you, how many years who have had more than 50 years? Somebody will be nearing 50, somebody 45, 46 maybe, something like that. So nearly half your life, you never know, you are not going to live till 100, surely. Maybe 90. So 45 is halfway through, isn't it? Halfway you are gone, and yet you have not had the pleasure of having seen Krishna personally, talk to him and get a reply from him personally. But here Brahma is Krishna and Lord Gauranga. Remember this. Just imagine how fortunate, how merciful Krishna is. Krishna appeared before Brahma, that we know, correct? Krishna is a direct link line to give all the knowledge to Brahma in his heart. And Lord Gauranga also appeared before Lord Brahma. So how much fortunate Lord Brahma was. Now here it is. Brahma says, "I committed so many offenses. I stole your calves and cowherd boys." See, Brahma has realized Gauranga Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. Okay? And we are in the Evam Parampara of Lord Brahma. So our own Param Guru, Param Guru, Param Guru Brahma says to Gauranga Mahaprabhu that I stole your calves, I stole your cowherd friends. When will I become naturally humble and purified? So Brahmaji is worried and he asks Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when will I become humble, which is the earlier step, pre-qualification to becoming purified. If you want to become purified, you cannot directly become purified. Because Brahma says so. Brahma says, when will I become first humble? And when I become humble, then I can become purified. So when will that time come? He's asking Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He didn't ask Krishna. Because what would Krishna say? Why didn't you surrender unto me? I told you, sarva dharma parityaga, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papi. Are bhai, chodo. I can't surrender to you. I am not purified yet. You see, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, never mind, purified or unpurified. Just chant the holy name and the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. 5,000 years ago, Lord Gauranga told this Brahma, and it is therefore that Brahma told Narad Muni in Kali Sandar Upanishad. All knowledge comes from God himself, eventually. And the Maha Mantra also came from Lord Gauranga himself. Okay, now is that link clear to everyone? Why this Maha Mantra is so important? Because Krishna in the form of Lord Gauranga, who had the mood of Radharani, gave this Maha Mantra to us. Isn't it the greatest thing that has ever happened? So then, and what is the result of all this? Chanting and all this purification and being humble and all that. There is only one point result. We get love of Krishna. Krishna Prem. In fact, that is the only goal we have in life as human beings. See, a dog has one goal in life. Get me the sweetest and the best bone. Because his whole consciousness is happy when he gets a nice bone, juicy bone. That is a dog's life. That is exactly what we are doing nowadays. We want the best tasty thing for the tongue. The dog's tongue is longer than ours. You must remember that. And the dog wants a sweet bone. That's all he wants. Because there is some marrow inside maybe. We want very nice bhojan. We want a very nice bed. We want a very nice apartment. And so on and so forth. Very nice bank account. Aray Baba, all that will go away. That's not going to be with you when you die. The only thing that remains with the soul, it takes you home back to Godhead, is Krishna Prem. That's a ticket. Now if you don't have that with you, there is back again Janma Mrutyu Jara Vyadi. Birth, death, old age and disease. Why get into that chakkar again? That is what Lord Gauranga tells Brahma. Brahma is asking for liberation. Can you imagine? And yet, we like foolish people don't understand how much Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu is merciful. Because he is freely giving it. He is not charging you anything for it. In this world, nobody gives you anything valuable unless they charge you for it. One way or the other, whether they will take money from you or somehow or the other, there'll be some cost to it. You see? But Lord Gauranga says, what can you give me? What can he have which he doesn't have already? Okay? Lord Gauranga has everything. Therefore he gave this freely. Are we going ahead too much? Would you like to hear some more? There is one very beautiful incident which I had never heard of before. It's not even there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I have never heard it from any acharya or anybody. And that is Lord Chaitanya's wedding pastime. You all know that Lord Chaitanya, he came as a grahasthi and he married Lakshmi Priya, right? So what happened was, when Lord Chaitanya was a little older, youth, this is 500 years ago, a wedding was arranged by his mother. And she, because his father had already passed away, and Sachi Mataji had found a very beautiful girl, very nice one, called Lakshmi Priya Mataji. And so that, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had accepted, because actually speaking, Lakshmi Priya eternally is his associate and consort. So that was no problem. Now the question was, they were very, very, very poor. Brahmins. You know all about that, no? Bhrigu Muni that went and put his leg on Vishnu's chest, and Lakshmi Devi got very angry. You Brahmins will always not have money. I will not come to your place. So like that. So Lord himself has taken appearance in this world, and this marriage costs money. Even 500 years ago it costs a lot of money. Okay. Today it also costs money, right? So now one person in that Navadvip area, his name was Buddhi Manta Khan. Buddhi, intelligent. Buddhi Manta Khan. Now, he was a businessman. And he was an admirer of Lord Gauranga. It gives me a lot of solace, you know, that even businessmen have a chance. So, this gentleman, Buddhi Manta Khan, he told Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he told Sachi Mataji, don't worry at all. All the expenses of this entire marriage will be on me. But there are going to be so many guests. There are going to be so many functions. We'll have to give jewelry to Lakshmi Priya Mataji. We'll have to do so many things. Don't worry, everything will be taken care of by me. Who said? Buddhi Manta Khan. Now, the question is, who is this Buddhi Manta Khan? So, the identity of Buddhi Manta Khan is interesting. In the previous yuga, this is Kali Yuga, right? So, the previous is Dwapar Yuga. So, in the previous yuga, there lived a great king by the name of Suvarna Sena. And he had a beautiful palace of gold called Suvarna Vihar in Godrum Dweep, right there. I'm going to take a few minutes and explain to you about Mayapur Dham in a few minutes. But right there, in the previous yuga, this gentleman was the king. Who? This Buddhiram, Buddhi Manta Khan. And he was a very pious king, but he didn't know the goal of life. He thought that by doing all these good acts mentioned in the Shastras, build canals, build wells, give donation of cows to Brahmanas, do yajnas, do pious activities, and then I will go to heaven. That was his idea. Narad Muni took some interest in this gentleman. Now, you know what happens when Narad Muni comes, right? Narad Muni goes straight to the heart of the matter and tells this fellow, Suvarna Sen, the king, that, now these are the exact words, Narad Muni explained, well, there is nothing wrong with what you are doing, it is good, but these are all material things. People may be living together as a family now, but just like straws in a river, sometimes there are little whirlpools, and these straws are then separated. So your money is gone, your family is gone, everybody gets separated, and then you are left alone. That's what Narad Muni is saying. So this fellow, for the first time, he realized that his goal in life, which was, I want to go to heaven, I want my kingdom to be successful, and I want my family to be healthy, wealthy and wise, and I want all material blessings. That is what he asked Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, that's not what you should ask. You see, you are asking the wrong thing. You are asking material benefits, which is temporary and will vanish. So, he asked Narad Muni, what should I ask then? He said, you must ask for service, seva of the Lord. That is the goal. Going home to back to Godhead is the goal. But to get to the goal, you have to ask for service. How should I do devotional service? Okay. So Suvarna Sen said, alright, you tell me. You are my guru. You explain to me what I should be doing. He said, in the Kali Yuga, in the next Yuga, you will be born as Buddhi Mantra Khan, and make sure, I give you that much memory, make sure that you do service for Lord Chaitanya. Now when this guy appeared, Buddhi Mantra Khan, he was a businessman, he got busy with his business, like any businessman gets, and he almost forgot that he had to do this service. But then suddenly, by the mercy of Arad Muni, he remembered that he had to serve Lord Chaitanya. And how a businessman can serve Lord Chaitanya? By money only, no? Because that's what he's got. So, here is a wonderful example that he started preparing beautiful marriage ceremony of Lord Chaitanya. Now what happened? 10,000 guests came. Nowadays if we have big marriage, you know, people say we had 3,000 guests, 5,000 guests for dinner. Now here 10,000 guests came. But this Buddhi Mantra Khan prepared. Now here's a beautiful point. The guests who came found the prasad there so tasty that after eating they would go back in the line. So somebody told Buddhi Mantra Khan that these fellows are coming over and over again for prasad. He says, oh, why should they take so much trouble? The first time only give them 5 times of prasad. So they don't have to come back and back again. And because this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wedding and with Lakshmi Priya Mataji, the prasad was the best ever that was made in the whole of Navadvip Dham. It was so beautiful, this whole marriage ceremony is explained here. And Narad Muni continued, when he came, he also came to the marriage ceremony of Lord Chaitanya. Narad Muni came. And he met this guy, Buddhi Mantra Khan. And he told him that, by the way, you were there with me. I was your guru in the earlier yuga. And then he gave him enlightenment. That from now onwards, whatever happens, you keep on serving Lord Chaitanya and you'll go home back to Godhead and forget about the material goals of going to heaven and all that sort of stuff. So this is the beautiful pastime, and this gentleman was constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This book is like a, you know, gold mine. There's so many full of beautiful pastimes of Lord Gauranga. And I want to you to hear just one little thing. This is a foreword. This is a foreword to this book. And I'll tell you who wrote it afterwards. For several decades, all over the world, for several decades means one decade is 10 years. For several decades, all over the world, thousands of people have been eagerly waiting for this book. Especially myself. In the 1970s, I would be totally absorbed in hearing tapes of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj narrating the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. His incredible knowledge and spontaneous love thrilled my soul. Countless people have had the same experience. When Jayapataka Maharaj speaks, the Lord's pastimes are blissfully enacted in our heart. Why? Because Prabhupada once said, Lord Chaitanya had sent Jayapataka Maharaj to this world. We are immensely grateful to Jayapataka Maharaj for presenting to humanity this invaluable treasure. Signed, Radhanath Swami. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Oh, I was to tell you about this. I forgot. This little booklet is what we got when we reached Mayapur Dham this time from our own team. We had, I think, 3,900 and odd, maybe 50, nearly 4,000 devotees were there. As usual, there are two railways there. One comes from Calcutta to Mayapur and one within Mayapur created by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, our Prabhuji, for the prasad, you know. There are pipes. He lays down two pipes parallel and on those pipes he runs a railway. Do you know this? Preparing prasad. And this big, big Marathi Madhi Sangta top ahe means big pots, you know, metal and metallic pots. And there is a crane system also he's got to lift these pots with hooks like this, you know, on the side, on the rim. And some of the best and most tasty prasad, if any of you have eaten Mayapur prasad, is from Mayapur. Why? Because inside the prasad, you taste Ganges, water. All the vegetables, all the fruits, all the grains are by the mercy of the Ganges River. So you get the mercy of Ganges River when you have prasad in Mayapur. So it was the tastiest prasad I've ever had. And this Gauranga Prabhu has his master team over there. Now, Gauramandal is 168 miles in circumference. Just like we have our Vrindavan, you know, mandal. Similarly, this is a similar thing. There is not much difference, you must know, between Vrindavan and here. The difference, slight difference is that in Vrindavan, there is only Krishna originally. Then Radhaji's worship came up because of, in our sampradaya, the, who was it, starting with M, Madhvendrapuri. Madhvendrapuri started the worship of Radharani, right? Up to that time, they had the mukut of Krishna as the symbol of Radharani. Okay. But then he said, what is the mukut being a symbol? Radharani should be standing next to Krishna. So he is the one who started the process, Madhvendrapuri, of worshipping Radha Krishna rather than only Krishna. Because even if you see in Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, there is only Krishna. There is no Radha. So this is very important because in our Sampradaya, we have understood the importance of the combination of Radha Krishna being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I want to tell you this. The center of Navadvip is known as Audarya Dham. This is the word Audarya means magnanimity, generosity, and overflowing with grace. Like Udar, you know, we say in Hindi or Gujarati. So I think this is Bengali. Nupur can tell us. Huh? It refers to the state when all the qualities of the Lord manifest in the devotees. If you live in that dham, or even visit that dham, for a few days even, you start getting the qualities of the Lord within you by the mercy of that dham. Okay? So the importance of going to this Navadvip, Mayapur is in the whirl. Whirl means like in the center here. And these are all the petals. On the southeast direction is Godrama Dweep, which I talked about. And this is the place where, this is interesting, most important. When all these avatars come, no? They first go to Mayapur. And the only place on earth where Ram meets Narasingha Bhagavan, Vamandev, where Balram, all of them meet at Mayapur. Did you know that? This I came to know this time. It's like a junction point, you know. And then the avatars go. And different direction, different timing, and so on and so forth. So Mayapur is very, very important. When Prabhupada said that Vrindavan is my home, Mayapur is my place of worship. Of course, Bombay is his office. We know all about that. But what is the most important thing? His home and his place of worship. So why is Prabhupada saying Mayapur is my place of worship? Why can he say that Vrindavan is my place of worship? Vrindavan is exclusively Krishna Balram. That's why it is called the temple Krishna Balram temple. And Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar ji. You follow? So the importance of Mayapur is far more in that sense. Who told us this? Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. And he gave evidence from Shastras. Not that he took Abhaji from his head, you know. It was actually with Shastras, Shastric proof. That all the avatars, before starting that thing, you know, Ram was Ayodhya. Okay, but Ayodhya ke pahle kidhar tha? He went to Mayapur. And then he went to Ayodhya. Okay, is that? These are things we learn when we go and listen carefully to knowledgeable people and holy people in the holy dham. So I have so much information here gathered over the last 4 days by the mercy of Radhanath Maharaj. Every day he used to give a lecture from 5 to 7, and I tell you, there were, if any of you heard those lectures or seen it on the internet, it was hilarious at times. For instance, while he was speaking, there were a huge number of jackals suddenly appearing. Oh my God. I never realized that in Mayapur there are so many jackals. Jackals, aap sab se? Fox. Kya bolte Hindi mein? Lomdi to Marathi mein diya apun sangtat na. Lomdi jaye, Marathi and Hindi. Same word? Same word? Oh, thank you, Mataji. I don't know foxes so much. But anyway, maybe. So here, suddenly huge number of foxes came that one evening. And they started, like that, you know. All of them together. Maharaj was wondering. He says, oh, I know. We are now in real nature. And they are singing the glories of Lord Gauranga. This is fox, jackal kirtan. Maharaj joined them. I was shocked. Everybody is shocked. 4,000, 5,000 people sitting there, and Maharaj joined them in kirtan. In their language. I seen it. I heard it. I was shocked also. Everybody was shocked. But we were laughing and laughing at the end. Because we were, for the moment, we were taken aback. What is Maharaj doing? Then Maharaj said, I have joined them for kirtan. Are he says, yes. Lord Gauranga made even the tigers do this. And the deers. Why not jackals? What have the jackals done that they should not do kirtan? Maharaj had that sense. Can you imagine? Instantly he joined them. He left his Bhagavatam, whatever he was doing,
And he joined Kirtan with them. My God, this is the first time in my life I've seen any human being doing Kirtan with animals. Hare Krishna. I just thought I should share this with you. That Maharaj has that, Radhanath Maharaj, when he did that, all great sannyasis were sitting there. You know, the chief pujari was there. What is his name? Now the twins. Chananivaspuram. They all got up. When Maharaj explained, first everybody didn't know what was happening. Why Maharaj did this? And then immediately when Maharaj explained, in our language which we understand as human beings, and then the beauty of it is, that when Maharaj started the Kirtan with them, those damn fellows came nearer to us. And it was shocking. First it was a little further away, then they came a little nearer, then Maharaj joined in the so-called Jackal Kirtan. And then they came all the way to the tent only. You were there, Prabhuji? You were there? You remember this incident? I think you were there, no, Prabhuji? Because I remember you. HR chief of Reliance. Hare Krishna. My God. Right hand man of Mukesh Ambani. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji. Again, your name? Vijay Shahu. You are not taking initiation. I will strongly recommend to Maharaj now. Because I saw him, I don't think anybody else I see here who was with us. Anybody else was here in Mayapur on this one incident? No? Every evening we were having from 5 to 7. Kirtans, lovely kirtans. Very nice pravachan by Radhanath Swami. And only one incident of this Jackal Kirtan. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Sorry? You see, in Mayapur Dham, all Jivatmas get liberated. Okay? And the process of your getting liberation, of going home back to Godhead, is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Lift your hand. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. You understood, Mataji? But because the jackals don't know English or Hindi or Sanskrit, human language, they have their own voice box or whatever. And they say something which we don't understand. They say, actually. We could make out. You remember, Prabhuji, I know you were there with me. We can make out that they were actually doing kirtan. One fellow was leading and the others were following. Are? Sankirtan. Animal Sankirtan. First time in my life I have seen an animal Sankirtan. You understood now, Mataji? Mayapur is the holy dham where even an animal has a chance, provided they associate with the holy people. When you go to a holy dam, you must associate with the holy people, not with only the water. The Ganges mein baat le gaya. That will come in a tap also in your hotel room in Vrindavan. No. These jackals were associating with Radhanath Maharaj. They are my godbrothers now. What can I do? They were beautiful jackals. I don't know how so many came, no? Arre bapre. I was shocked. Ghasa from all over Bengal must have come. There are incidences where Narad Muni has initiated a snake also. Do you know this? Narad Muni was so kind that a snake, cobra, was causing too much trouble to people. So then he told the cobra, "Bhai, you just chant, be peaceful. Chant the holy name of the Lord." I don't know. Must be something like that. He must be saying some noise, some sound of their own. Then the children were throwing stones at that poor cobra, you know. And he was bleeding when next time Narad Muni met him. So Narad Muni said, "Why are you so bleeding?" He said, "Because you told me not to bite anybody." He said, I never told you not to raise your roof, you know, hood. So just raise your hood and the children will not throw you stones at you. So, I'm just telling you that actually every person, you are a separate person, I am a separate person, right? Everyone here is a person, has a body, right? With 10, I just came to know, 100,000 kilometers of blood vessels in our body. That's where the consciousness flows, through the blood. Okay, the important thing is consciousness. And we have to convert this consciousness, today which is material conscious, to Krishna consciousness. Okay, so animals also have got bodies, they also have blood, so their consciousness can be converted. But they need that spark, they need that some sort of guidance from a spiritually enlightened person who recognizes that they need that. Of course, Radhananda Maharaj gave a very humorous explanation after that. Any other comments or questions? You understood, Mataji, that you go to Mayapur, even if you are an animal, you can get liberated. That is the point. I am not saying you are, but I am just saying. In fact, men are more likely to be animals than ladies. Because there was Jagai Madai. They got liberated. You seen Jagai Madai? Picture is there? Actually, in this book it's mentioned, Jagai and Madai actually challenge Yamraj. You follow? How this Jagai and Madai? Jagai and Madai were actually very knowledgeable, very capable, very rich. But they thought they can challenge Yamraj. That is why they did all this mischief. Robbery, theft, rape of a Brahmin's wife. They did all sorts of eating meat, killing, everything they did as a challenge to Yamraj. Then when Nityanand Prabhu, Nityanand Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liberated them, Yamraj fainted actually. This is there in this book. In this book. Yamraj fainted. He said there are 27 cupboards full of all their list of all their sins they have done. My Yamadoots have collected all this. And I was getting prepared to give them, I had to prepare a special hell for them. To give them punishment. And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and liberates them. Mera to gaya. Who am I then? And he collapsed. Fainted actually. Then it was Narad Muni who came, as usual, and he told the Yamadoots, you chant the Maha Mantra in Yamaraj's ear and he will come back to his senses. And that is what happened actually. So this Jagai and Madai actually did all what mischief they did, not just because of their sense gratification, but as a challenge to Yamraj. What can you do? We are in Navadvip, we are in Mayapur, we will take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Look at that. So you can imagine if those people can be benefited and get mercy. If you go to Mayapur, you will get this benefit. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.